welcome to Quest for Gold. We are now 84 days away from the Winter Olympics in Milan Cortina, Italy. I'm Ryan Burrow. On the ice, the quad god, Ilya Malinin, blew out the competition at last week's Skate Canada International with a world record free skate score. The two-time reigning world champion landed six quad jumps, three in combination, to score 228.97, beating his own previous world record free skate score by a full point, which was set in 2024. He also became the first skater to cleanly land five different quad jumps in a single program. He beat the second place finisher by more than 70 points. This was the third of six ISU Grand Prix of Figure Skating Series events. The clock is ticking for men's hockey teams to whittle down their Olympic rosters. Team USA General Manager Bill Guerin said Tuesday he'd like to keep the core team from the Four Nations face-off last year. That team, of course, lost to Canada in the championship game 3-2, and he'd like to find the edge to flip that result in 2026. He told NHL.com while in Toronto this week, quote, "You need to keep guys in the mix as long as you can. There are guys who are having good years. There's guys who have bigger bodies of work. A lot of different thoughts go into each individual, so we try to keep guys going as long as we can," end quote. Guerin calls it a good problem to have. Forwards Matthew Tkachuk and Brady Tkachuk are currently both sitting out of the NHL seasons with injuries, but should be back in time for the Olympics. It's not just the U.S. dealing with tough choices ahead. All teams, including Canada and Sweden, also have some trimming to do. Canadian GM Doug Anderson says his list right now is down to the low 40s, high 30s. All teams have to turn in rosters of 25 players by the end of December. Ukraine's National Olympics Committee met in Kyiv this week to discuss how the war-torn country plans to prepare to send athletes to Milan Cortina. They covered some of the key aspects of preparation, including the prospective number of Olympic licenses they'll need, the final training camps, the stages of preparation, transportation, and accommodation of logistics for athletes, provision of equipment, and medical support. The International Olympic Committee is reportedly looking at more clearly defining whether transgender athletes can compete in the Olympics moving forward. News Nation's Nick Smith reports.
It would be a huge policy shift for the IOC, which until now has let each sport's international governing body set their own policies centered on transgender inclusion. It would also mark a big change from the IOC's 2021 framework, which said there should not be a presumption of advantage when it comes to trans athletes. The reported push comes after IOC President Christy Coventry vowed to protect the women's category before being elected in March.
What I would like for the IOC to do is to bring everyone together to try and find a consensus amongst all of us that we can all get behind and that we can implement. And above anything and everything else, it's fair and protects the female categories.
According to the British newspaper The Times, the IOC will issue the ban sometime early next year, citing a new scientific review that found evidence men have a permanent physical advantage over women athletes even after hormone therapy. However, the Guardian newspaper says the ban could still be a year out and that the IOC is facing pushback to a possible ban on athletes who were reported female at birth but have male chromosomes and the same testosterone level as men, also known as differences in sexual development or DSD. That would include athletes like South Africa's Caster Semenya, who won gold at the London and Rio Games before track and field's governing body, World Athletics, banned DSD athletes from competing as women in 2023. While the IOC has issued a statement saying no decision has been made, the reported policy change would bring them in line with the Trump administration. Back in February, President Trump signed an executive order banning transgender athletes from women's sports, which he intends to apply at the 2028 Summer Olympics in Los Angeles. It's worth noting that despite the talk surrounding the policy, the IOC says fewer than 0.001% of recent Olympians openly identify as trans or non-binary.
Ski mountaineering is set to make its Olympics debut at the Milan Cortina Winter Olympics. The sport combines cross-country skiing, climbing, and downhill racing, and will feature three medal events, men's sprint, women's sprint, and a mixed gender relay. A total of 36 athletes, 18 men and 18 women, will compete across these events. The official uniforms of the Olympic and Paralympic Winter Games have been unveiled. These are the outfits that the 18,000 volunteers and workforce will be wearing. The torchbearer uniforms were also unveiled. They're designed in collaboration with Salomon, premier partner of the organizing committee. They include blue and green outer jackets, trousers, backpacks, and footwear. Underway this week in Sioux Falls, the U.S. Olympic team trials for curling. The top U.S. curling teams representing more than a dozen states are competing for a chance to represent Team USA in Italy. And for the first time in winter sport, the U.S. Paralympic trials for mixed doubles curling is happening at the same time and venue as the Olympic trials. I, along with my next star colleague, Matt Barnes, were able to catch up with Chris Plies ahead of the trials. Chris, John Schuster, Matt Hamilton, Colin Huffman are looking to get back to the games after a disappointing fourth place finish in 2022 in Beijing, keeping them off of the podium. I had a chance to chat with Chris about what's changed since then.
What has mentally changed and physically changed for you and the team headed from 2022 into 2026? Kind of where's your mindset at? Where's your body at compared to where you were 4 years ago?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, we were a five-man team in 2022. John Landsteiner, who had been on the team with John since the quad leading into the 2014 Olympics, retired this summer. And so now it's just me, John, Colin, and Matt. And one thing that we've changed is like we've kind of taken a look at how we really relied on Colin Huffman sweeping pretty much everything. And Matt has put in a ton of work in the gym to kind of get stronger, get bigger. So our sweeping, I would say, has improved a ton. But I think the main difference is we had, 2023 Worlds, we had a very poor performance. And we had to have some very, very hard conversations with each other and look at each other and ask, like, are we doing this or are we not doing this? Because, like, we're not wasting our time. This takes way too much money, way too much time away from everything else. And after those conversations, we had these four guys that said, all right, let's freaking do it. And we put our heads down and we went to work. And I think what that did is that vulnerability that we kind of laid out with everybody about what, hey, I know we played together for 10 years, but I've been sitting on this, but like this thing that you do like drives me insane. And just kind of laying everything out there, just made us a much tighter unit. And the start to this season has been the best start that any of us have ever had in our entire careers.
It's hard to have those conversations.
It is.
Do you guys get to a point where it's just like, I'm just going to say it?
It is. I mean, at the first bit, it was very challenging. And now I think we have all of these kind of, just ways that we go about things now where after games, like we just bring it up. Cause that was the hardest part about it was, a lot of this stuff people were bringing up where they were like, yeah, and it's been bothering me for years. And that's a hard thing to hear. But when it's something that happens immediately and you're willing to kind of nip it in the bud, like that's a much easier conversation to have, especially when you know that they're coming at it from like a place of grace and understanding.
Did you take some of that incoming fire?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, there was, sometimes I can get a little moody. It's one of those things that I didn't really realize how much it wore on some of the guys sometimes, but like hearing that and being able to kind of recognize when that kind of stuff is happening and be able to just step back and say, okay, like I'm just going to go for a walk, like has made a big difference. And all of us just kind of found little things to improve, our relationships with each other. And to be honest, it's been not only just great as like for results in the ice, but great for when you're spending so much time on the road with each other, like enjoying your time more with your teammates, which has been awesome.
What's the pressure like going into the trials now before we even think about making the Olympic qualification project?
Yeah, it's there. But we're playing as good as we've ever played. So I think the confidence level is high. We've gotten a chance to play a bunch of the teams that are kind of in the qualifiers and have had some success this year. And I think all of us are just mentally in a good spot. At the end of the day, like it's sports, you never know, but we're gonna go out there and give her hell for sure.
I mean, it's weird to say you're 38, you're at the end of your rope, but I know what you're saying when it comes to this, but then you see John who's trying to make his sixth Olympics.
It's crazy.
How wild is that for you to, as a teammate and a friend, to see him try for that?
Yeah, I mean, it's very impressive. That's a long haul. I suppose like he probably needs like a new wardrobe for the next few years. So it's like what he's been, that's where he's gotten all his clothes for the last 20 years. But no, it's very impressive. I think one of the most probably underrated achievements in U.S. Olympic kind of history that doesn't get talked about as much. you know, I think we throw another medal on that resume though, and I think he'll join those ranks of household names for sure.
You all, you know, I know you're in your Duluth, Minnesota bubble. There's curling is huge, but it's starting to seem like it's growing across the country too. I'm excited that you are part of that movement to get people excited for curling, and obviously making the Olympics and getting Team USA in the Olympics is part of growing the movement too, isn't it?
100%. Like, if you don't have visibility, like, you're not growing. And I think that's been something that has been really exciting over the last, you know, handful of or a couple of Olympics. And you know, the cool part for us is it's not just these northern states now, like Nashville, Phoenix, Houston, like all these cities down south are getting these curling clubs. And the cool part about that is, like, yes, it's growing the game, but it's also like the diversity that's coming into the sport is so cool. It's not just walking in and, you know, it's 50, you know, old white guys. Like, it's fun. Like, life is more fun when there's people from different backgrounds, and it's a lot more interesting. And so I think that's one of the coolest parts about what's happening in our game right now too.
And what can that do also for, could we see that, like, you know, bobsleds is recruited from track and football. Like, feel like curling can do that too. I mean, athletes are athletes, right? And yeah, if you get the right athletes to be in curling, who knows what this sport could do in America?
Absolutely, man. Athletes are athletes. And, you know, I think one thing about curling is, like, a lot of it's play between your ears. And I think that, you know, athletes also, like, that's a skill set that a lot of us have from having to overcome so many challenges and things like that. So I think it'd be pretty epic to start seeing, like, just some, you know, jacked folks coming in and being like, all right, give me a rock and give me a broom. Let's go.
And then how badly do you want to make these games, especially considering the last ones, family couldn't be there. It was, you know, it was you all just by yourselves, just kind of you celebrating the barn and the media members.
Hey, yeah, dude, it was fun though, wasn't it? Yeah. yeah, no, it's part of the reason why I came back for one more quad is to have an experience that our families and friends and stuff could share with us. And, you know, they've put a lot, they've made damn near just as many sacrifices as we have through this journey, and not having them be able to be there with us in Beijing was tough. So that was a big contributing factor. But other than that, like, I don't know, it's just a beautiful place too. Like, I don't know, watching just like metal, glass of wine, looking at the mountains, like,
shocking.
Let's go
again.
Yeah.
That's all. Chris, appreciate it, Roger. Thank you. Good luck, man.
Yeah, thank you.
We follow and
thank you very much.
The winners of this week's team trials will likely be the U.S. teams, but the U.S. men's and women's teams still need to qualify for the Olympics. Corey Thies and Corey Dropkin have already qualified for mixed doubles. The U.S. curling trials are being aired on the Peacock Network through November 16th. And that'll do it for this edition of Quest for Gold. We'll see you back here next week as we march closer and closer to the Winter Olympics in Milano Cortina.